44.
Thank you.
Bless you, Joe. How old are you, Joe? How old are you? How old are you, is he?
79.
He's 70. If she was going to take you out, I'd say she's probably done it by now. But that's what I said about Kelly. If something happens to me, I know. Anyone else? We love Joe's testimonies, man. They're awesome. They really are. Anyone else have a testimony for you? All right, Chris, if you got
Brian,
a comment.
It's good to be here tonight.
Bless you. Bless you.
I was kind of sitting around hesitating, and I looked over and I saw Robbie. I don't believe I ever heard a message of Brother Rob like this.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'd have to say that the Lord was in it completely, and it was truly a blessing, Robbie. It was a blessing. And I thank you, and I thank the Lord for it. It's good to be here. It's good to be with the group. We've been here since 4:30 or so, and we've been in the upper room. didn't get any bread and wine. We had a good song service with the bells practicing, and the Lord blessed us.
Sure.
Came back over here for practice, and it was a blessing. God's good to us, Joe.
Yeah.
He's good
yeah.
to us. To me, to you, we might feel like that we're not in the best health. But I want to tell you something. Go over to the hospital and walk up and down the hall.
There you go.
Yeah.
Go down to Huntington, the VA center, and walk through there, and you see all of them in there confined to their wheelchairs and people leading them around. I'm blessed.
That's right.
I am blessed. And even though, you know, you got things working on you, which everybody has, sin, condemned in the flesh, is going to bring death.
That's right.
Yeah.
This body is going back to the dust from which it came.
Right.
But there's a part that God has given life that's going back to Him.
That's right.
And one day, and I don't understand all of it, but I know one day we're going to be carried up. We're going to have a new body likened to His glorified body. That's what we're in this life striving for, is to have that glorified body like His. And there won't be any more pains, Joe. Won't be any more sickness. We won't have to grumble and complain anymore about anything like that, because everything will be just right. And I thank Him for that. I'm glad of the hope that I've got down in my heart.
Amen.
Without Him, Joe, without Him, without His grace, without His mercy, none of us would make it.
Right.
And I want to thank Him and praise Him tonight.
Bless you, Charles.
Amen.
Bless
you. Well, I too like standing. As I was on the way here, I made a phone call, Charlie. I was just like you. And I was bragging on our service how God just placed everything, just how it all fell in. And I told them to see Him when I was talking to him on the way here to Barber. I said, man, that Rob, he was something this morning. I was just bragging how the Lord used him.
Yeah.
how the Lord used everybody this morning. Right. I said, it just all seemed like Brother Charlie fell right in place. Started with Greg's lesson, and then it just kept, then it came down to the choir, and then it come down to the preaching of the word. Mm-hmm. And I told Brother Steve, I said, I was so full today, I didn't even care whether I ate dinner or not. I was still feasting and full on him today. And that's just how I felt. What a wonderful day, and I just thought about it all day. I said, Lord, thank you for blessing us.
Amen.
Right.
So I just want to honor him and thank him for what he did.
Amen.
Bless you, Donnie.
Amen. Anyone else?
You know, Rob, I didn't see any of this kind of stuff. Whenever we praised the Lord there to start with, I looked, and I purposely looked around because of what you guys did. And all of them were up here. Praising the Lord. And that made my heart glad. It really did. But, you know, I had dinner with an old friend last Thursday evening. We have a bunch of old retarded troopers that get together at Beckley like once a month or once every couple months and meet at Pasquale's or at the Outback or something and have dinner. And this guy was, he's a little older than I am, but him and a couple other of my friends sat at the table, we had dinner, and we discussed a few things. We was talking about how, you know, the older we get, the more of our friends and family pass away. And he made the comment about it, just, he said, well, Stevie, he said, it just, he always called me Stevie, but he said, just, the main thing is you just got to be ready because you don't know when you're going to leave here.
That's right. That's right.
He died yesterday at 4 p.m.
Yes.
He hadn't been sick or anything. He just left here. Greg's lesson this morning and your sermon just really touched me today. And you never know when you're going to leave here.
Exactly.
And you never know when Christ is going to come back.
That's right.
And if you're not ready,
get ready.
Can you imagine spending eternity in the darkness, in the hell? Why not spend it in eternal light with the guy that died for us and lived, But I too enjoyed your message this morning, and that was so funny. I looked around and I purposely just looked at every hand. There wasn't any of these kind, you know. They were all up here.
Yeah.
But y'all pray for me.
Anyone else?
God has a plan. And sometimes you don't know what that plan is. You don't ever, as they say, there's things will happen. And after it happens, you'll look and you'll say, oh, man, it was in the plan all the time. Don asked me a little bit ago, said, are you going to be able to make it to revival? Here, quite a while ago, we work a 16-on-1-4 off schedule. And I needed Friday off. So my 4 days, we're allowed to move them. So I moved them 2 days, not realizing that I had moved to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And so he knew all along, okay, you got to have Friday off. I'm going to give you these days off so you can go to the revival.
Amen.
So, but and Donnie, he asked me, I told him how it worked out. I said, it's great. I said, you know, I wasn't thinking about that back then when I did this.
Right.
I said, but it all just worked out. I said, God has a plan, and he'll show it to you.
Sure.
If you look for it, if you think about it, he'll show it to you. And sometimes it's not till afterwards. But whatever his plan is, you can guarantee it's going to be the right plan. It's going to be a good plan.
Amen.
And I just hope he keeps on planning for me and keeps me out of the equation, because my plans probably ain't nowhere near anywhere his should be. So I just praise the Lord. An excellent service this morning. I hope we're going to have an excellent one tonight, because I know I prayed for one. It's going to be a good one. We got to have a good one. They're all good ones. Some are better than others, but they're all good ones. So, but anyway, just pray that God will keep on making your plans for you and that you'll follow his plan.
Right.
Sometimes you might not even know that you're following his plan, but you'll find out later on, and it will all end in the right place if you
Amen.
Listen.
Amen.
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 I got one more thing.
Bless you, God.
Say it, Joseph. Say it.
I got a plaque from your brother,
hardly even see you, but I see you fly.
Read it to us, Joe.
Read it.
Read it, Joe.
Read it.
Bless you, Joe. All right, any others? All right, Chris, if you'll get a congregation.
All right, get your hymnal turned to number 55. 55 as the choir goes down. 55.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. On the bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the sky, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
At this time, we'll go to prayer. Jess Gundy. Oh, okay.
Thank you. shall. Bless you. Bless you, Lois. Bless you, Jordan. Bless you, buddy. Amen. Bless you, Al. Bless you, Kelly. Anyone else? Bless you, Carla. Bless you, Kip. Sister and cousin. Amen. Bless you. All right.
We need to sincerely pray for the quote leaders of our country that they'll seek divine intervention instead of trying to follow their own path.
Yeah, for sure. Bless you, Steve. All right, and if you have an unspoken request, you'd like to signify by upraised hand. The altar's open. Pray till you're finished. Thank you. Let's stand up and sing 34. This is one of the prettiest songs to me. Kelly and Laney and Tatum are going to sing this at my funeral, so y'all come so y'all can hear them sing. But if we could sing that, I'd really appreciate that. I just think this is one of the prettiest songs. If you just listen to the words. And Wendy does such a good
playing. The way that he loves is as fair as the day that blesses my way with life. The way that he loves is as soft as the breeze caressing the trees at night. So is he contented with Jesus? I'll be the way that he loves is so thrilling because his love reaches
testimony at this time. If not, even me, Robbie. Even that's my favorite part.
Big old world, as small as I am, as unfortunate as I am, his love reached down to
me. Even me.
Nobody else for me. I'm thankful that God loves me. I don't know what I do without him. I don't know how to make it without him. I'm glad he loves me.
Me too. Yeah. Bless you, Robbie. Bless you, Rob. Anyone else? All right, Aaron, if you'll make your way up.
Good evening. You're probably wondering why everybody's hanging around up here, because they're going to help me out here in just a little bit. But it's good to be here, and start of our revival. And I thought my message is going to be on that, but I thought a lot of times we sit and we think, you know, we're just not doing what God wants us to do. But I often thought, too, that if something happened to us, what would you want close by? And so I've got some assistants tonight. They're going to help me demonstrate something that probably a lot of you don't even know the church has this. But I wanted to do a demonstration for you just so you can see what's going on. Come on, Kelly. Most.
Does everyone know what this is?
Yes.
Do you know where it's at in this church?
Yes.
So,
In the Bible.
Where it lives in this church. So everyone knows. I know Mike Wolf knows, but does everybody else know?
Here, take it. Turn her on here, Greg.
Back by the back door is a. Right to the right of it is a first aid kit, and it lives in a box there underneath of it. So it's important to everybody knows where it's at.
How many knows how to use this? Well, good. Seven.
I mean, we're not going to actively use it.
Yeah, yeah, we are.
See, I mean, the battery's out of it or whatever.
Hey, Joe, so, she takes me out.
Y'all got 120 witnesses here.
Okay, you hold this. I know, right? So these are pretty simple to use. They have made it to where the layperson, anyone who isn't medical, can use it. The first thing, if you would find somebody unresponsive, you need to make sure they're not responsive by saying,
"I'm not responsive."
Like, "Are you okay? Is something wrong?" And then if they don't respond to you, you need to quickly assess if they're breathing or not. Just watch and see if their chest rises. So the, thank you, Virgil.
Make them comfortable, right, oh. Virgil?
Hey, thank you.
So then what you would do, hold this, I can't use this. You just open this up. And the way these work, very simple, like I said. The way this one is, I would have to open this up, take the patches out, and put on him for it to work. I'm not going to do that because I don't want to ruin the patches. So I made some patches of my own. And the important thing is the defibrillator is, it is for a heart that is not right. There's something wrong with the heart at the time that they're unresponsive. So it has been proven that if you defibrillate early, you have a much better chance of the person surviving. So when you, it shows you on the patches exactly where they go. One is on the right chest and one is on the left side. And the important part of that is what's in the middle of that, the heart. So you want these things, you want the electric current to go through the heart to help get it jump started again. So we're just going to put a patch there and a patch there. This one thing this kit doesn't have that some of them do is a razor, because if a man has a hairy chest, sometimes the patches won't stick. So you have to quickly do that. So you would turn it on.
Wait a minute.
That's to analyze what's going on with the heart. If it tells you that you need to shock shock the patient, you're going to press this orange button right here, and it's going to shock.
Oh, not like an electrocution.
Right, not a it's more like shock. Exactly. And it will walk you through. It will analyze again, and it will tell you if you need to do CPR. And if you don't know how to do CPR or the rate of compressions, it's 30 compressions, 30 to 2 breaths. Now, they're telling you that the most important thing is early defibrillation and compressions. Sometimes they don't even want you to breathe for them because the important part is to get the blood pumping with the heart that's not right. You want to jump start that heart. So it will analyze everything, but you can press the blue button to tell you how to do compressions or how many, how fast, whatever, or if you're doing a good job. But the other important part of this is to call 911 if you're by yourself. Get them on, go call 911, and then start. So help is on the way.
That only would shock you if the heart's beating.
No. That's why I said it analyzes, and if you don't need a shock, it won't shock you. But you still might have to do CPR.
If you stand too close, it will shock you if the person's
correct. You have to stand back, and it will tell you. It'll tell you to step back before you hit shock. So it'll walk you through everything. It just won't go on because I don't have him hooked up. So, like I said, this is for a heart that's not kind of not right, so it needs to jump start it.
Thank you. I made it. Yeah.
That's another thing I was thinking about. If a person does have a defibrillator or a pacemaker, you need to feel, you'll usually be able to see that, and you need to put them on the opposite, you know, not right over top of it.
This is called an defibrillator external.
Yeah.
So, but I didn't know you could use it on somebody that actually had one. Can you notice what she said there about you use this on somebody whose heart is not right?
Yeah, we noticed that.
Now, I want you to realize that what we're going to be doing this week is for people whose hearts aren't right.
Yeah.
Now, if we need to, we'll come to your house and shock you with a defibrillator. So you'll be able to get up and come to church. Because it's important for us to realize there are times that we all need a little help along the way. We get slow, we get lazy, we get complacent. And when you're in those conditions, you're not being very good help to anybody, especially yourself. But I want to thank Kelly and Brian for helping me out tonight. And Kelly is a registered nurse. She's actually anesthesiologist. She's an anesthetist certified registered nurse. So
close
enough, yeah. She works with them every day. But I began to think about, you know, revival. And what does revival mean? Or what's the root word of revival?
Revive.
And what does revive mean? Bring back to life or bring, you know, help them to get back. I've got several words here that go along with that. And I'd like for you to think for just a moment. If you used revival, what would be another word that starts with an R-E that would mean revive or revival?
Reborn.
Huh?
Recoup.
Renew.
Regenerate.
Reborn, rebirth.
Who in the Bible do we know that talked about a rebirth? Ye must be born again. And who was that? Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin court, and he was a pretty smart guy. But he shows up to Jesus one night and wants to know, what do I need? Or we know you're a great teacher come from God, but and he told him, he said, you need to be reborn. You need to be revived. And what was Nicodemus's question? How can I be born again? How can I enter in? What was he thinking about? The physical, the earthly thing. But what was Christ talking about? The spiritual. We must be born again. So we must be all revived at some point in time. How many in here were saved in a revival? Several of you were saved in a revival. Are you thankful that you went to revival that night? Yes, definitely. We want to be thankful. But I thought of revival and the rebirth, the regeneration. What does that mean? I'm sorry?
To make new?
Yes. Renewal or restoration of a body, bodily part, a biological system, such as a forced after injury or a normal process, and then spiritual renewal or revival. How many felt like this morning's service was a renewal or regeneration service? Did you feel good after you left here? And I thought, you know, Rob did an excellent job, and he emailed me a little while ago and told me, he said, Aaron, he said, I took the portable mic home with me. He left it in his pocket. So I would say, did he preach to you this afternoon? I don't think he had a place he was going to stop, but, you know, it was just, and Rob, I'm not throwing off on you. I've done the same thing, so... It's just sometimes when you leave here, you know, you're so excited about the service, you don't think about those little things. But it was good, and we were rejuvenated, we're renewed. What does resurgence mean? What do you think? Huh?
More power.
More power in our life and in ourselves. There's one other word that you might be familiar with. How about resurrection? What does that mean? Come to life. Come back to life. Resurrection. When we look in the Bible, who do we know was resurrected before Christ? Lazarus.
I'm going to argue that, okay?
Okay. Okay, so 4 days in the grave, you know, you don't resurrect, I mean, you don't resuscitate those, do you? But he was resurrected for a short period of time, and you're correct. But what will we face one of these days? Resurrection. We will be resurrected. We'll come back to life. But I thought of resurrection. And had it not been for the resurrection, where would we be tonight? We wouldn't be here, would we? There wouldn't be any reason for us to gather together. But because of the resurrection of Christ, because he was revived, because of his revival, we know that it's just amazing when we think about what he's done for us. Now I want to ask you these questions here real quick. Quiz. Trent and Taylor, let's get you ready for class tomorrow. We'll give you a quick quiz tonight. Do we need a revival? Okay. Does the church need a revival? Okay, who else needs a revival? Individual. Each person needs revived. Okay, who else needs revival? The whole world does, don't they? The whole world needs to be revived. You've probably read about some of the great revivals. I was reading about one that Billy Graham started. I believe it was on May 15th, 1957, I think it was. And it went through until September 1st of that year. And I don't know how, it told how many millions of people just came to it. But there were so many saved too during that. I thought too of his revivals through the years. Even as a young boy, I would watch him. And you know what I wanted to watch him for more than anything else? Was the invitation. Anybody do that? And some people are, I guess you could say, pessimistic about, you know, how many people actually got saved. Well, he had a revival in Charleston one time. And they were in here months before that revival started, having prayer meetings, visiting churches, visiting people, getting people ready. Because he knows that those people are saved here aren't going to be able to go to church with him every day. But he wanted them to find a place where you could come and hear God's word. And he wanted them to be planted. And I thought, you know, of all the thousands that I've watched through the years make their way down front, you know, if somebody said, well, that's, you know, I wonder how many of them, well, if just one of them got saved, it was worth it all. And I thought in our revivals, sometimes, you know, we don't see a lot of people saved. But if Joe Stover gets saved in revival, it was worth it all. If any of you were saved at any point in time, even if you went to a revival and weren't saved in revival, what did it do? It planted a seed. It gave something in your heart. So, again, if during this week we see our crowds getting down a little bit, Kelly has volunteered to go out for me, and she is going to take the paddles out. She would have took them out on Brian, but I wouldn't let her. No, I really encouraged her to, but she said she wasn't going to. But I thought, you know, sometimes we need a jump start. We need something to get us excited enough to want to even attend. And then when people see our excitement, what are they going to do? They're going to want to come too and see what's going on. So we need a revival. Which one of these you guys back here? Chris, is that you?
It wasn't me.
They don't understand. You're going to start over.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry, Siri. We'll start over. It's amazing what technology can do today, isn't it? But if Siri gets saved, then the whole world might get saved. Because she can tell them every day they need the Lord. But I thought, you know, we know that we need a revival. Now, let me ask you this question. Is it possible for us to have a revival? Who starts the revival? Does the evangelist? Have you been praying for him? He can bring the message, but God is the one who starts. So it's possible for us to have a revival. And where did we say that source comes from? What source gives us a revival? The Lord does. The Lord gives us that revival. And how can He give us a revival? We meet the conditions, okay? Huh? Need to seek, call on His name, turn from our wicked ways, and He will hear from His people, or we will hear from Him, And what will he do after all that? Somebody requested prayer for our leaders. What does it say he'll do? He will heal our lands. He'll heal our lands. Can we heal our lands? We can't even hardly get them to listen to anything we say. But do you know who can heal our lands? God can. Okay. What can we do to make revival? What's the first thing you can do?
Pray.
Be obedient to the Spirit. Show up. Be here. Get things ready. You know, if we come in here and we've been fighting with our companion all the way to the church, when are we going to get in that service? We may not get in it at all, might we? But we have the source, or we have the means, by coming ourselves, by inviting others, and by praying that God will show up. What did he tell us this morning? Where will God go with us? Everywhere. All the way. All way is what the scripture says in Matthew. All way. That's every bit of the way. Several years ago, I had a heart episode. I was about 23. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and it happened just like they say. I could see that tunnel, that bright tunnel, and I thought I was leaving here. And I thought, as I began to pray, I said, Lord, Susie and I hadn't been married very long, and I said, Lord, just get me to the hospital. I don't want to die on her here. And she got me to the hospital, and we got in there, and they wired me up, Kelly. They had me wired up, and they were monitoring me full time. And during my stay, I was right beside of a ward. Anybody remember wards in hospitals? What were wards? They put a bunch of beds together, don't they? And I'd been getting along okay, or I thought I had. And I walked into that ward, and the subject came up about Jesus Christ. Of course, if you're in a ward with a bunch of fellows that are in there because of their heart, they're going to listen. They want to listen. We weren't in intensive care, but we were. It was intense, and I began to share with them, and in a few minutes, two or three nurses come running in, and they were looking for me. And you know, if you get to talking about the Lord, it affects your heart. My heart went off of their Richter scale, I guess you could say, and they thought I'd gone down somewhere. But it's important, whatever opportunity you got, share with somebody, because they may not be here tomorrow, right, Steve? Can you believe that? He went and had dinner with him on Thursday, and today he's gone, and wasn't anything wrong. It can happen in a moment. We can leave here. But what are obstacles in revival that we might be able to kind of dodge? Huh? Yeah, a poor spirit in our own lives. What about what are obstacles that keep us from coming to revival? Huh? Companies show up. Work. Get sick. He brings about all them, doesn't he? He brings on all them. I'll share another one with you. I've probably shared it with you before. But the night that my mom and dad got saved, my neighbor had been inviting him to a revival, and, you know, what do people like to come up with when you get invited them to church? Excuses, excuses. Well, this was a Thursday night, and guess what their excuse was? I need the haircut. I could have caused my parents to be lost today because of my hair. No. We went to the barber shop, and normally it's packed, and it's one of them things where you've heard Al say, next, next, you know, when you're asking for testimonies, you know, next, who's next? We walked in that barber shop, and I walked right up to the chair. There wasn't anybody there to get in our way. Got my hair cut, and we still had time to make it to church. And that night, we went to church. I sat on the back row. My mom and dad sat right in front of me. And I thought, what are we doing here? I was 9 years old, and I was 9 years old, just turned nine, and I thought, what are we doing here? I'd been to church before, but church to me was Sunday school, because my grandmother took me to Sunday school. And I thought, why are we here? But as the service went on, the pastor came back and talked to him and said, told my dad, said, don't you think you ought to do something, Monroe? And next thing I knew, they were on the altar, my mom and my dad. But you see, they had an excuse. They had an excuse. They had to get my hair cut. Now, that's pretty frivolous, isn't it? Because sometimes my mom would cut my hair. But I thought, here it is. You know, that excuse could have kept them from being saved. So if you got a friend that's putting you off, just tell them, I'll be praying for you and I sure wish you'd come. And then pray that the Lord start talking. The Lord's probably already talking to them and inviting them, so it's important. So can we put obstacles out of our lives? What do we do so many times? We do what we want to do. And if we want to go to church, can we go to church? Sure. But it's hard for a person who's not saved to want to go to church. So it's up for us to encourage them to come. So just tell them, what happens at the end of revival if it's been a good one? And I will have to say this. I don't think we've ever had a bad revival here. I mean, we've had some that we've had a lot more saved in, but I don't think we've ever had a bad revival. So how do you feel at the end of revival? There's another R word. Refreshed. Rejuvenated. Re-energized. Re-energized. Spiritually re-energized. Your body's probably tired and you're probably getting, you know, that's why we try to get the service moving along, get the evangelist in as quick as we can so it won't wear you out. But there are times when the Spirit comes and we just let it go. Now, if we didn't let it go, then that's not good. That's not good because we need to let Him lead us. But I think the results of revival are so good that if we make an effort, if we do our part, what will God do? He'll reward us. There's another R-E word. We'll be rewarded for coming to revival. So don't think you can ever outgive the Lord. Don't think you can ever outwork. How many days a year does the Lord take off? Zero. How many hours is He on call? 24/7. Kelly, what's the longest shift you've worked? 24. Could you work 7 of them in a row and still be on your feet? It's just impossible for us. But God will re-energize us. He will reward us. He'll give us those. And in closing, I want to do a song here. I'm not going to sing. I just want to tell you a little bit about it. There was a song that we sing quite often. We're going to sing it here just in a minute. The title of it is Revive Us Again. Revive Us Again is a hymn written by William Mackey. You can open your hymnals. We're going to be using it in a minute. 161. Is that what I told you, Chris? 161. If you look at that song, it says William M. Mackey. Is that what it says?
Huh?
William P. Mackey was the one who wrote this. And you notice there's no time on it. Most of them will say what year it's written. It was written in 1867. And it says, this hymn calls upon the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus made by giving his life to redeem mankind of its sins. Mackey rejoices in this sacrifice and dedicates this hymn to praise. Well, where do you hear that word at? That was this morning's message, wasn't it? Praising the Lord. He wrote this song to praise the divine gift of salvation granted by God. It says, the lyrics are this. Listen to the lyrics. A lot of times we sing songs and never listen to what they say. A lot of times we listen to them and what happens? Look what happened this morning service. When you hear those words and they take effect on your heart, they're going to make you sit up and listen. But this is what it says. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. How many times during the year do you go visit your doctor if you're on a regular schedule? Once, twice a year, whatever. We have revival twice a year, so we're due for an appointment. And we're due for a fixer-upper. Maybe, you know, we could say that God is even a... what's those people that change the looks of you? Plastic surgeon. What can God do to your face? You say it's too far gone. There's nothing he can do for that. But yeah. What can he do? What can he do to your face? He can put a smile on it. And what do people think about you if you're smiling? Yeah. In Kip's situation, I can understand that. Yeah. But they're going to wonder, what's wrong with you? What's different about you? And when they ask you, what can you tell them? Jesus is. He's revived me again. He's revived us again. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Says, we praise thee, O God, for thy spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. That should be our prayer for this week. Lord, revive us again. We all need a facelift, don't we? We all need a smile put on our face. We all need some health, you know, to help pick you up physically too. And we need to pray that God would revive us again. This is William Patton Mackey, M.D. He started out as a doctor. Was born on May 13, 1839, and studied at the University of Edinburgh. After pursuing his medical profession for a living, he converted to a minister of the Prospect Street Presbyterian Church. In 1968, and passed away during an accident on August the 22nd, 1885. 17 of his hymns are in the W. Reed's Praise Book, 1872. One of the best recognized is, "We Praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy Love," penned in 1863. Anybody know anything special about 1863? West Virginia became a state. And I thought, "We praise Thee, O Lord, for a state that we can live in, for counties that aren't afraid to teach their children about God, although they know they're putting their jobs on the line. If they get the opportunity, they can do that." And I'm thankful that we live in a state that that can be done. So if you're here tonight and you need revived, God wants to revive us again. He sent His Son to die that we might have this opportunity tonight. He deserves our praise. As Rob spoke about this morning, He deserves our praise because of what He's done for us. So as we stand and as we sing, turn to page 161 and join us in this song.
We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for Thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory. Heart with Thy love, may His soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again.
Anybody think of any other R-E words? Rekindled. Rejoice. Yeah. How about respect? Does He deserve our respect?
Yes.
Surely He does. Anyone else have anything you'd want to share? It was, yes. Anybody else have anything?